Hello, Zanzi. You are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzanzi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by One IFRA, the global organization for the world's press. I'm your host, Duncan Masiwa, and this episode is powered by Woolworths. Now, in this episode, we explore the heart of sustainability in agriculture through the eyes of an influential advocate for change. In this moving conversation, Food for Mzanzi's co-founder, Ivor Price, sits down with Andile Ngobo, a passionate agricultural consultant and farmer based in KwaZulu-Natal. Now, Andile was invited by Woolworths to witness their Farming for the Future initiative firsthand, an experience that has reshaped his perspective on sustainable farming and the future of agriculture. Through this initiative, Andile gained invaluable insights into the importance of healthy soils, natural resource management, and the urgency of integrating sustainable practices into farming. He shares his eye-opening visit to the Mandalay Farm in the Western Cape, where he discovered that true sustainability lies in prevention, not just cure.
Andile, thanks for joining us on Farmers Inside Track. It's always great having you here on Food for Mzanzi's podcast.
Hi, Ivor. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to chat to Food for Mzanzi.
Let's kick off this conversation on the Farming for the Future initiative. You were quite privileged to experience this initiative up close, and I'm wondering how Farming for the Future has shaped your approach to sustainable agriculture.
When I visited Mandalay Farms in George, I actually witnessed Farming for the Future in a different light. Based on my conventional understanding of commercial farming, one would think that you would require to have inputs such as harmful chemicals and fertilizers to sustain a commercial production. However, after experiencing and seeing what is being done at Mandalay Farm, I realized that it is quite possible to produce at a large scale with a regenerative approach to agriculture. It is quite possible to also use natural resources in order to be able to produce at a large scale to provide for the commercial market. It has given me a different light about the amount of preparation that needs to go into farming, or even the idea of farming commercially, without just thinking of a shortcut or a schedule that is conventional, or what we know, especially coming out of an agricultural college. You are obviously taught a lot of mitigating strategies that allow for production to be somewhat continuous or sustainable. However, with regenerative farming in mind, I've learned a lot from the farmer down in George about preparation that is required in order to actually be able to farm in a sustainable way commercially.
Your farm tour insights are mind-blowing, and I'm quite jealous that I haven't toured Mandalay Farm in George in the Western Cape yet. I'll be sure to add it to my bucket list. What were some of the key lessons you took away from the visit, and how do you plan to apply them to your own farming practices, Andile?
Based on my observation at Mandalay Farm, I believe that the core principles haven't changed. So the importance of looking after the soil being the starting point to all things in agriculture, whether it be crop production, even in animal production. In order for you to be able to get a good steak, you must be able to rear good cattle. And the only way you can rear good cattle is if you have good feed. And the only way to have good feed is to have good grass. And in order to get good grass, you need to have good soil. Same applies for the crop side as well. You need to look after your soil in order to ensure that there will always be a crop available, and without destroying life that is beneath the soil. One of the key lessons that I learned from the farmer at Mandalay Farm, Mr. Peter Lippen, is the fact that it is important to be very mindful of the fact that there is more life beneath the soil than above. One of the key things is the soil. Secondly, it's also being very mindful of water as well. But one of the things that I learned about water and measuring the amount of water that one utilizes, making sure that you keep your water sources clean, is also the adverse of it. It's also actually learning to measure the oxygen levels, because at the end of the day, oxygen is what is actually required mostly from there being water for there to be life in the soil as well. So it's also about looking after the water sources. And then generally the environment as well, very important to be mindful about the kind of materials we use, the kind of chemicals we choose to use, the kind of fertilizers one chooses to use. In fact, if one is able to move away as possible from using synthetic products to grow our food in a healthy manner, then you are successfully on your way to the regenerative way of farming.
That is not only profound, but hugely inspiring, Andile. And thank you for touching on the importance of regenerative farming and soil health, which is obviously a major focus of the Farming for the Future initiative. It's great to hear how your approach changed in the way you see soil health, but I'm wondering why soil health specifically in regen is so critical for long-term sustainability in agriculture.
I think all life is in the soil, because more than it is just a medium that is there for healthy plant growth, it also is basically a means of being able to get nutrients into our plants through the roots. And if you have a good rooting system, you need to have good, healthy, and well-oxygenated soil for that matter. And that also requires a lot of care. I believe that when I observed the regenerative farming at Mandalay Farm, I was specifically drawn to their use of compost. Their compost was a huge key factor in making sure that the soil is healthy in so many ways. One, all of the materials that are used, which could basically come from natural bark, natural trees, waste that comes from actual plants once they've been processed in the pack house, so just the leaves and the extra stems, all of that being piled up not only gives our soil the best possible type of nutrients required naturally, but it also has different sized particles that create aeration in the soil, which goes back to the aspect of oxygen, as I've spoken about. It's one of the key factors ensuring that one can farm sustainably. And quite funny enough, I always used to think that generally agriculture is an expensive exercise. But I also think that trying to establish a new system such as regenerative agriculture would actually be considered just as expensive. But in the long run, you actually save more, because with all these natural products and the way in which the environment is able to take care of itself, there's very little intervention that needs to come from you as the farmer to ensure sustainability in terms of the planting cycle.
So you might not believe this, and the listeners might not believe this, but I come from a family who loves Brussels sprouts and celery. And I was pleasantly surprised to learn that, you know, the Brussels sprouts and celery available at Woolworths are farmed at Mandalay using regenerative practices. From what you've observed, what makes this produce different from conventionally grown crops, and how does this impact both consumers and the environment?
Well, one of the things I'd like to really mention about the experience I had having visited Mandalay Farm is the fact that you're actually able to pick anything off of the field and consume it as is, because there is no harmful or any chemical residue off of the products. I myself was quite intrigued by observing the scale that one is able to actually farm in a regenerative way. And my understanding as a consumer as well of where our food generally comes from has changed drastically, because when I had a look at the landscape of the farm, a very beautiful farm, I must say, almost seemed untouched. Yet to me, it seems it's able to produce and supply for an extremely vast market. And the quality of the produce is absolutely outstanding, to a point where at some point you just can't believe that the only methods that go into ensuring that the product is available is all done in such a sustainable and such a natural way possible. Very little, minimal disturbance. Even when it comes to looking at the aspect of the environment that has to do with pests that we consider harmful on plants, the way in which the pests are controlled is very different from what we are accustomed to in the conventional manner anyway. In the conventional manner, it'll be a matter of wiping out all of the pests by using probably chemicals or some kind of pyrethroid, which is a ingredient in a lot of the insecticides. However, with Mandalay Farms, they would generally introduce predators for those particular pests just to control them, because the pests being there themselves are also an indication. So the rule on the farm that I visited was, if there are no pests that are considered harmful at the farm at all, and you aren't able to pinpoint or observe a single one, then there's a problem with the control method that is being used, because there is a reason it's there. There's a reason it's in the ecosystem. And the whole point is to farm with nature and not farm against it.
So at Food for Mzansi, we have great admiration for your work as we co-create the new face of South African agriculture. And you're definitely one of the young stars in this country when it comes to farming. When we shift the conversation to the future of farming, as a young farmer, what insights has seeing Woolworths' Farming for the Future program up close given you into the future of farming in this country?
One of the first things I ever is the fact that I am genuinely inspired because I had the opportunity to visit Mandalay Farm and to observe their methods of farming, especially under the context of farming for the future. I realized that with more exposure, we have a huge opportunity, especially as the youth and for those who are following on, to be able to be exposed to this method of farming early. And because of this opportunity and these opportunities, especially opportunities that Woolworths has created for us to be able to look through the window and actually see how these goals are achievable, I have great confidence that there is still time for us to be able to save our environment, to save our planet, to be considerate of our environment and our natural resources very early. Yes, we may come with the principles that were taught that are basically deemed textbook type resolutions to farming. However, with the additional understanding that we are now exposed to, I think that we stand a good chance at ensuring that this works for our industry and just works for the health of even our consumers, the people who eat our produce, and obviously the sustainability of our farms.
Thanks for sharing your insights here with us on Farmers Inside Track, Andile, and all the best with your journey ahead.
Thank you so much, Iba. Always looking forward to it, and I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Andile Ngobo, an agricultural consultant and farmer based in KwaZulu-Natal. Of course, he was interviewed by Food for Mzansi's co-founder, Iva Price. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss any of the episodes. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food for Mzansi, thanks for listening.